It's a privilege to be back here again. I thank each and every one of you. We feel like this is our home. Of course it is. We went out here 9 years ago this last spring, my wife and I. She knew Spanish and I knew nothing at all of it. And we went down there to fulfill a ministry completely different than what we have embarked upon this last spring. And we're thrilled and excited, and I'd like to just give you a rundown of what's taking place with us so that you can better pray for us. We really need some prayer. Last night, Michael was introduced as apprentice missionary, right? And if you was a little mouse in the corner down there watching this, you might be confused to who the apprentice is, and or you might be confused if there even is a missionary there. But he's young, and one thing we learn in these conferences, and as we learn in life, is that in the Christian life, is your past experiences really don't count for a whole lot. The Lord is a leading God through our spirit, and He's directing us step by step. And every situation is going to be different. You live on last experiences. You try to force this situation, do the same as the last one, and you're going to be running against the Lord a lot of times. People are different. Things are different. And the Lord changes how He operates and moves. And so you pray for us. We went to San Luis Potosí with no great ambitions other than just to preach the gospel. We didn't go with any expectations that the Lord would raise up anything out of our efforts. We just wanted to be faithful to preach the gospel. Marco, a young man that we've taken on as our own palace for the city government officials in one corner. The other side is the state building, and on the other side is the main Catholic cathedral. And pretty bold. Michael joined him a few weeks later, and together they began to preach, and people began to really be interested, draw some crowds. We've seen several young men get saved, and a couple young ladies. Through that, one family has been saved. And we continued to preach for eight months, and very, very fruitful. Never had any disturbances that you would call what we had in León with the fights and being pushed around. Once in a while, somebody would go by and call us crazy. But people would gather around and listen and ask questions afterwards. We were there every night, sometimes very late. I think Michael stayed one night till 2 o'clock with a group of young men, 2 o'clock in the morning, talking to these guys. And he'd want, I'm going home. So, no, we're gonna talk some more. We want to know. And a great deal of interest, and we found out that there was a number of people after we got done preaching that were scribbling down the verses we used and things we were saying, and they'd run over and ask their spiritual leader, hey, the Bible, they said the Bible says this, does it say that? And he wouldn't satisfy them, so some of them were getting their Bibles out and were taking the Bible says it does say that. And so looking for an explanation. Well, the pressure got too hot on the archbishop, who happens to be the one who controls the state of San Luis, at least that much of the country. He came down with an order to his people who were running the city government, get him out of there. And so we were beginning to be hassled. They kept telling us they would send the police if we continued, and we said, well, thank you for the advice, but we're going to continue preaching. It's our liberty. We carry the Constitution with us. They got frustrated. They went and asked some clowns who go down there once in a while to give a little show to kind of collect some money. They asked them to get around us and cause a problem and looking for a reason to throw us out. And finally, one night, they just took Marco and I and took us down to the detention, give us no reason for being there, never sent anybody there to tell why. The guy at the police chief, he's trying to be very fair, and he's, why are you guys here? And I said, that's what you're supposed to tell me. And so finally, he got a hold of somebody, and they got a hold of somebody, and down came the lawyer for the city. And he said that we couldn't preach anymore. He said, I have the right. It's been upheld by courts all over this country, and I'm going to preach here. And he says, if you preach here again, you'll be thrown out of the country. You stand up and open your mouth, and in that plaza, you're done in Mexico. And I says, well, we have the right to be here. And he says, we make the laws. This is my town, and you're not going to be allowed to preach. So the next day, we made a telephone call, and we got in touch with the governor in person of the state. And he's of a different party. He'd like to see the priest not have so much control in the situation, and he simply told us that he couldn't help us. There was an election, but you need to talk to these other guys. And he shoved us. He passed us by. We talked to his undersecretary. We talked to a whole bunch of people, and finally, we worked our way up, and we got to the main man that's the problem with it within the city official, and that is the secretary of ayuntamiento. He's the man who's the arm of the mayor. The mayor is ceremonial. He goes around and cuts the ribbons, and he gets the votes. And this guy does all the everything that's moved is moved by this one man. He's a devout Catholic man. He's very active in the Catholic Church. And I showed him my rights as I was sitting in front of his desk. We talked for over an hour. He says, I have a right to preach anywhere I want to. He took my little book of the Constitution. He says, that doesn't have any weight with you in this town. And we had a big conversation. I told him that he was a man without shame. In Spanish, it's Sin Vergüenza. He says, you've used clowns and every other trick to try to make something happen that isn't there. He says, I'm the one that decides these things in this town, and you either shut up or get up, or I'll force you up. So we're at a real spot right now. We want to preach. We want to preach in that downtown Plaza. That's our desire. If the Lord's closing the doors, then we need to back off. If it's the Lord's will that we be bullheaded and force the door, then we need to have his wisdom. And we're asking you to pray for us earnestly with this matter. There's a lot of other people we can preach to, but we've seen such an open door there, we'd hate to lose it. But maybe the Lord's closing us. Maybe he's not. We're just, we're in the area. This just took place. That's one reason why Michael and I need to get back. When we left the park, we had 15 to 20 people coming to our meetings, our regular meetings, which met in the same park. So now we're uprooted from our meeting place, and we're losing some of these people that had interest that were coming. So you pray for wisdom in this thing, that God's opened the doors, that his will be done, and that we not be the bullheaded ones and try to force something that's not there. The Lord might get the praise and the glory. I apologize. My wife couldn't be here. She's been told for years that she makes pretty good pies and cakes. So she made a few for this restaurant where Marco works that wanted to try them. And she's in a big business now. She's got five restaurants that wanted pies. And so, it's a real help to us. We've got some teenage kids now that think they need a little money. And so it's a real help to us. But this year she couldn't be here. Hopefully by next year we'll have someone else to fill in for her as we get the thing going a little better. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Peter. I'd like to share something that's been on my heart for the last couple weeks. Most of you missed the morning meetings, and this morning's meeting is going to appear to run perhaps contrary to what this passage says. But I think it was was stated well enough that this morning we talked about if someone wills not to walk with you, then you let him go. And that's true. You don't force someone against their will. The Lord is looking for volunteers. He looks for people who take a step to decide to be in a place of their own will. And when it comes the time that they don't want to be, then it's not going to do you any good to twist their arm. Pray for them. Ask them to seek God's will. But the end of the thing, you got to let go. If they will not. There's some times when we need to really work with each other. We're brothers and sisters that are weak in the faith, and we need to really have some compassion with each other. We need to have some patience, some kindness. We need to help each other over these things. We're not all spiritual rocks that can stand the tempest without faltering, without some help. And I see that in my own life so many times. And I pray the Lord for you brothers and sisters that pray and are faithful to me personally, to my family. Even though there's the times when you can see that we're really not walking like we should, that we've got our problems, and the flesh perhaps is taking some areas. And I appreciate your patience with us and your prayers for us, and not just saying, well, let him go. There may come a time when that'll have to take place, in different ones even here tonight. But till that time when it's absolutely necessary, we need to be a loving people that love each other, a family. You think you can do it alone? Just try. Just separate yourself out. Just try. It's a dangerous situation. We thought about, before we moved to San Luis, to maybe go to Capitol, go someplace just our family. Now it's too dangerous. We need some help. We need some aporio, some edifying from some brothers and sisters. So we went to a very large city where we felt we could be doing what we felt we needed to do, start another work, like a mission work of the church that's already in San Luis, and still be with Dale and Nelda, who, as you well know, are the number one in edifying and lifting and helping. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be with you people who pray for us and are patient with us. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, just now as we look into your word, we pray, Lord, that you will bless and direct. Pray that you will open our hearts to see what you have for us. Lord, we do want to be a church family. We do want to be balanced and well-placed in your will. Bless us this night. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And besides these, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, into patience godliness, into godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. This is a man speaking to you, this Peter, who is a man who was in need of a lot of remembrance. You remember back of Peter's life. Here he was in this courtyard warming himself by fire, and he had just told the Lord that he would never deny him. He had just said, Lord, I'll be with you till the death. And a little maiden comes up, and in fear and trembling, he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. He needed somebody to remind him at that moment. Where's your faith? Where's your promise? Remembrance of some things. This is Peter saying, I know I needed somebody, so I'm going to be faithful and ever diligent to remind you of some things. You got Peter. Brother Brent spoke about Peter walking on the water. He said, Lord, if it's you, beg me to come. And he jumps out and he starts walking. And then he starts to look down. He needed at that moment somebody to remind him. The Lord told you to come, Peter. Somebody wasn't there to remind him that he was walking on faith because of what the Lord had said. And he forgot those things. And he began to look at the things that come about him. Brothers and sisters, we come to this meeting, to this mission conference, not for a lot of new truths, really. Everything that I've heard to this point, I've heard before. If anything new, it's all the same thing that we need to know. Amen. There are a few little things that come along in this, in our studies that are a new revelation, but when it comes down to what we need to be in remembrance of the basics. That's what it says here. I will make, 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of the things with these things, though you know them. We're talking about the same old story, the same old gospel, the same old truths, and be established in the present truth. You want to be established in the truth of God? You don't look for the new thing that itches your ear, as the Bible talks about. You take the remembrance of the things that are true and tried. You take the things that were this stumbling block for so many, and there's always the simple things. Talking about in remembrance, I don't know, some of you guys, Eddie's not here tonight, but Brent and Bill worked with me, and I don't know if they remember or even took notice, but when we were working building apartments, I was always chattering, always talking. And a lot of people thought, that guy's a nut. He's a real idiot. He's talking to himself. Well, they were hearing me. And what I was saying was things like, don't put your finger on the trigger of the gun when you're walking around. Don't rest the gun in your foot. I've had a guy that always, when he got tired, he just rest the gun and put the gun on the end of his foot. Well, twice he shot a nail through the end of his foot. This was in Houston. I'm always saying things like, before you set the saw down, watch the guard. Just on and on and on and on. Just chatter, you know, like, pick up your feet, don't. And it sounded ridiculous, but I was reminding them of the simple things that would trip them up. They'd shoot themselves. They'd cut off a toe. A number of things can happen out there. The things they all knew. The things that I knew. And even though I was repeating them to them, I was remembering it myself. And so when I was walking around saying to them that to get the finger off the trigger of the gun when I was walking around, I was making sure mine wasn't there. Remembering some simple things. It says that there's an entrance that we can have. In verse 11, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. For remembering the simple things, you can have an entrance. You wonder, why isn't my ministering prospering? You're giving your time to the rescue mission. You're giving your times in the courts. You're going out to the mission homes. You're dealing with people, and yet there's really no entrance. There's really no acceptance of what you're doing and saying. Are you remembering the basic truths? Are you remembering what saves souls? Or are you remembering your message are you in wrapped up in yourselves? That's what it's talking about when you look back at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. The basic things are what we're seeing afar off. These basic things, they're things you see afar off, brother. They're things that are the eternal worth, the salvation of the soul, the completion of the work the Lord Jesus Christ came to do, raise up his church. And yet we want our little area to be the prosperous thing. We work at our little area. We don't realize that God has thousands and thousands of people working in an effort to bring it to being. We aren't the only body of Christ in this town or in this nation. We are a representation meeting in this place, giving glory to our Lord and Savior. But one day we'll be united with brothers and sisters from around the world. And if we get focused in our little area, we're blind. We're blind. Oh, we think we see well. We see ourselves well, but we don't see it far off. Don't see the end of what God's trying to do in humanity. We think we see the end in ourselves. We think we see the end of what our little group has, what our little schemes are, but do we see the end of what God has in mind? Example is this wall that Brother Lindell's leaning against back there. Don't lean too hard, brother. We built that. I don't know. Are you going to show your film, the movies of that? Yeah, I will believe it. You what? I believe it. Anyway, next time, we built these walls laying down on the slab, which is our custom, and that wall we had to build clear out into here, and it's a heavy wall. And when it's first built with just the boards, it's very easy to tear it apart. You have to go up easy with it. You have to handle it carefully. You don't want to stand it all the way up and then try to pick up this wall that probably weighs 1,000 pounds or better, and it's all wobbling. You don't want to have to carry that thing, which is 10 feet high, clear from here to there, standing up. And there's some guys over here with a lot of heart. Man, they had heart. They was helping. We raised this wall and that wall. We built all the walls for this thing in like 2.5 hours, start to finish, raised. And we got ready to raise that wall, and I said, when you go waist up, and I said, up, go waist high and shove it to the edge of the building. Well, they were ambitious. We had more help than we needed. It was a problem for that particular wall. And they grabbed the wall and drifted up, and they're throwing it, and big guys are going up with it. They can't get go of it in time. They wanted that thing in the air. Well, what's going to happen is time we move it from there to there, we're going to have it in pieces. They can't see afar off. That wall's got to come up to a certain level, and then everybody together shoves it over to the proper place and raise it uniformly. Lots of desire. We have a lot of desire in the works we're doing. And sometimes we're throwing the whole thing right up over where it's going to tear itself apart. We need to see the end of what God's plans are. What is he really trying to build? Is he trying to prove a point with us? Or is he trying to put the whole thing together to build a church that he can glory in throughout all eternity? Our part may be a little different than the next part, but it's a part. Theirs is a part, equal as ours. We got some brothers here that have a different type of work. Brother Willie, a little different than what I do. His work is no less than mine, or no greater than mine. It's part of the work of God. Building a building. You think, what part of this room is a good example. Which one of these walls would you like to take down? Would you like to say, we want to change something? There's four walls here, and every one of them is an outside wall. Every one of them is a support wall, but they're all different. Build every one of them different. Got a different purpose. There's headers over there that you don't have over here. This one here happens to be a peak all the way to the top. Pretty tricky. Did you cut all that, Bill? Look at Eddie. That was difficult. That was a hard wall. Eddie, right. I had to have Eddie on that. He'd cut me for a year. Bill had been preaching a year. Eddie had been cutting wood for a year. Yeah, and you didn't bring the film. And you didn't bring it. They give you a job and you mess it up. The Lord has his plan and he's doing things we need to see afar off. Amen. We get blind. And all we think we see so well. We think we really see. But we're blind, brothers and sisters, when we're looking at our own work and not looking afar off. The second part of number 9 has something that's very strong to us. And it says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I think the biggest enemy, I preach on it all the time, and I use it in the gospel, I use it with the Christians, I use it with every place I go, Mexico, and that's your pride. We get proud. We really do, brother. You and I get proud of what we've done. I fight it maybe harder than the most. I think I look back at my life and I pick out my good points and I really feel good about my pride. So then I start to compare and I'm dealing with someone else. He doesn't have maybe the opportunity I had. Maybe he's just more bullheaded. Maybe this, but I don't give him that break. I don't have patience. I forget that I'm a sinner saved by grace. God saved me for no reason. There's no reason on earth why he saved me. God could have saved someone a whole lot more fluent in Spanish and English. Much better preacher. But yet I want to think I'm better than this guy I'm talking to. Just at this moment, he's having some problems that I don't have. We forget some things. Peter's saying we need to be remembered of these things. Remembered of where we were, brothers. Remember where you were this morning. I need to remember where I was 30 minutes ago. Things weren't going just my way. Oh, it's easy to condemn this poor guy here because he can't get up like I am at the moment. Forget. We want to be used by the Lord. But because of our short vision, the blindness. You're not blind because your eyes don't work. You're blind because your eyes are looking at yourself. A lot of people in this world, they got 20/20 vision. They see no further than the end of themselves. They're useless in the work of God. Their job, their boats, their cars, their everything. What happened to the to the vision of what the Lord God Almighty wants to do in this area. By the mercy of the Lord, we that sit in this room have an opportunity to hear some people who have a vision. There's some people in this room that have a real vision. There's some here that aren't in the mission field. They're on the mission field right here in San Antonio that have a real vision. We need to all have a vision of what God is doing. Don't fall into to looking into yourselves. Some of the points to know that says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. What are the things we need to do so that we don't fall into this blindness, this self-righteousness, this pride that eats us up and makes us really more than unuseful, but hurtful? I wish Eddie was here. He'd remember it well. I had one time when everything I did, I couldn't fix with my sledgehammer and my chainsaw. That was my thing. I never had to tear anything down. If it was a little wrong, just stand back, I'll fix it. And I'd cut this way and cut that way. I'd take my sledgehammer and I'd make it fit. Well, we'd build them right up here on Five Palms and come to talk about the blindness. Nearly every apartment building you build, it has a party wall down the middle. The one side's identical to the other side. Well, I was so blind, I didn't go look at the plan to find out they didn't do it that way. Somebody had a different idea. And I built the first side according to what I thought it should be, and then I copied it on the other side. Well, the first side was right. The second side was as far off as it could possibly be. And we were pretty proud of ourselves that one crew had spent 3 weeks building the same roof structure, and had it messed up, they had really done it bad. And I was giving them a hard time, and Eddie and a couple of the other guys that were working for me, we went over there and we knocked it out in a day and a half. Man, we was good. We went to the next building, and we were going to do that one in a day. My plan, you do a job a day. It's like taking vitamins, you know, one a day. It really builds your ego. And so we were over there going, and the boss came over and said, hey, you guys really messed that last building up. And I said, no, we didn't mess that up. I thought he was just kidding because, you know, man, we knocked 2.5 weeks off the time of that building. He said, no, I'm serious. You need to come look at this. I went over there, and I looked at it. I said, it's perfect, man. What are you talking about? It's even level. It's unusual for us, but it's nice. And I went over, and he said, no, he says, it's like the other side. I said, that's right, it is. Just like it. I cut everything the same. He said, you don't understand. It's not supposed to be. And they had it, they had the tar paper on it, they had it shingled and tar papered and roofed, and they were ready to paint the siding on it that's hanging off this thing. And I said, no, let's just leave it that way. And he said, no, we can't leave it that way. That's the model. I said, what difference does that make? And he says, it's the model. Change it. And, I spent about 2 hours wandering around wondering what I could do with my chainsaw to make this thing look better. But I had to tear it down. And so we spent a day and a half putting it up, and we spent a day tearing it down, and then another day putting the thing back up. And point of all that is that it wasn't fruitful, barren. Verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be very barren. Although we know all these things, and although we are established in the truth because of our blindness, because we won't look at the plan on each and every situation, one side's supposed to be like the other side. It's supposed to be. Usually it's not always. I was blind, so I spent 3 days being very unfruitful. All the work that I did, not only was it was counterproductive, I had to pay some of my men to go back over and tear the thing down and start over. Kind of humiliating experience for me. I didn't like that. What about in our spiritual work? Do we get so blinded of what we're doing that we don't see afar off what God is doing? Do we get so blinded that we don't look at God's plan on this side of the building? What does he want in this area? Oh, it worked great over here. And it worked good for a while even here. But the Lord has a plan. We need to be ever mindful of what he's planning. Some of the qualities so that we not fall are scattered through verses 5 to 8. It says in 5, add to your faith virtue and your virtue knowledge. I believe this is the knowledge of the will of God. I'm not talking about knowing the Greek and all the ins and outs of every verse. I'm talking about knowing what the will of God is here. I don't know a whole lot of Bible, but I know the days when I know what God's will is for me for that day, it works out. I know when I'm doing the will of the Lord that day, I have peace in myself. I may not see anybody saved that day, but I know that my faith is growing because I'm walking in what he wants for me for that day. It says, into the knowledge temperance. You need to be temperate. You need to be like the cold chisel. Cold chisel is tempered properly. You can cut steel. My dad, when he went to apply for a job, and he was going to be some kind of a tool dial maker or something or other, and he says, I learned all this stuff in shop. I'm pretty good at it. And he says, well, make us a scratch-off. That's a real hardened point so that you can scratch metal with it. And Dad, he worked on her for a few hours. He got it all done. He tempered it right up. The guy said, hey, that's beautiful. And he dropped it. And he had it tempered so hard it was like glass. And it hit the ground, the thing just shattered. The guy said, well, you did a nice job, but you need to learn how to temper metal. We need to be temperate for the situation that God has. And you won't be temperate right if you're not knowing what God's will is. If you're blind and looking into yourself, you temper yourself. You won't let the Lord do the temperance within you. And that temperance will make or break. A cold chisel too soft won't cut wood. Said into that temperance, you had patience. You can sharpen things to a point that they have a tremendous edge. And we can cut very fast on one cut. And the temperance is wrong. The edge is gone. And you then can't cut anything. We need to have it just right. Just to the edge that you need. To cut meat is a certain pitch. And to cut paper is something different. And all these things you have to have just right. And that comes from the knowledge of what the Lord has for you to do in the manner in which he has for you to do it. And it may take a little longer to cut through the first one, but you'll be able to cut through the second and the third, and your edge will stay. You get the tempered wrong, and you're too impatient. You're demanding more than it's made to take. That applies to when you're dealing with people individually. It applies to your work when you're working. You want this thing to go, and it has to go on this timetable, and you be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. So there's times when you just have to be still. Michael and I are right now in that situation in San Luis. Breaks my heart, my flesh. I want that thing to be moving up. We had people come to meetings that we may not see again. We've lost track of them. God's doing a work. We have to be patient that he do it. He might just be working in Michael and I. It may be 20 years before we're ready to take on a church. The Lord says, well, I'm patient. You guys are hard-headed, but I'll work you out. I'll get you there. He's being patient with us. As we deal with other people, within your family, with the people you work with, the people that you're dealing with on a spiritual level, we need to be patient. Let God do it. Say the patience, godliness. That speaks for itself. Just being more godlike. People that are godlike are all the above. You want to pick out a couple of these, pick godliness. It fits all the above. Into godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. Love one for another. I appreciate the love in this place that you have shown to me, shown to my family. I appreciate the love that you've shown to other believers, the love you've shown to the Lord Jesus Christ.